So from that, I'll go to my first question, which is about Rick's story. And in the introduction to Rick's story, you wrote that you wanted to see what the traumatic events of what happened with Jaka would have on a likable character like Rick. And when he comes back to services world, we see that he's totally unbalanced, or maybe he's not totally unbalanced in the beginning, but he gets there.
Which for Seraphis fans is really saying something, to say that they think a character's unbalanced.
But we see that, as you said, Ray becomes a Jesus figure. We see that he, in some way, he really is a true prophet, because what he says comes to pass. So I was just wondering if you're making some kind of comment on prophets, on the type of personality it takes to be a prophet or to have been a prophet, if there's no longer any more prophets to be had. But
yeah, I think we don't know that. I mean, part of the whole mystique of the prophet is, it's very difficult to me to get a mental image of Isaiah. I mean, it's 60 some odd chapters of some of the most overwhelming prose and ideas underlying it. But I don't get a sense of a person, because my belief is that these are revelations that came to these individuals. And I see it as a debate between God and Yahu God, acted out through the prophets. The ability to discern accurately, with any degree of perfection, in my opinion, on our part, does not exist. I can read Isaiah and I can say, I think this is Yahu. And then I think this is the point where God starts to answer her. And this is actual narration, this part. There are bridging parts. This part is really interesting, but you might have to know exactly what was going on in Jerusalem in the year 750 BC, and then it would be Bapho material. Like if you knew what was going on, boy, oh boy, that chapter is a killer, but it's useless now. I mean, it really doesn't say anything to anyone. With Jesus, I mean, there's also the division between the synoptic Jesus of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who to me, I could be entirely wrong in this, I think is Yahu's Jesus, and that the Jesus of John is God's Jesus. Because it's the three and the one. He, she, and it, and he. And, it would be an irresistible deal that God could present to Yahu. You're saying you're God. I'm saying you're not God. I'm saying I'm God. You're somebody that I created. Let's have a guy come along. You get three books and I get one. And I bet I end up winning. Yours will have contradictory elements. The stories won't match up. And a centerpiece of Judaism is, unless three accounts agree, then you haven't gotten anywhere close to the truth. So God's proposing at the outset, let's base this on a lie, in a Judaic sense, a demonstrable lie. I will have my one book, and my Jesus, but my Jesus will become completely different from your Jesus. And let's see if this endures. And it did, in my view, because it wasn't a lie. It was, the accounts didn't match up perfectly, but everything that Jesus said was a perfect barometer litmus test of whether you recognize good or evil. In my view, when I read it, it was I would read the things that he was saying, and I'd go, "That's wrong." You know, he's saying that, but I think that's wrong. I think it's you're supposed to come to Scripture that way. Whether you're talking about the Torah or the Gospels or the Quran, there's going to be a lot of trouble with the Muslims. Like, I'm really putting my life on the line here because I think in the Quran, the dialogue is continuing. We spoke to you. We have said to you, have we not always said, if the point of the Quran is that there's one God, why is it always we? And I think it's because, again, it's a real fine-tuned debate between God and Yuhu, and you're supposed to read the surahs of the Quran and go, this is wrong. The stuff that the Muslims are doing in the Middle East when they wage jihad, that's Yuhu stuff to me. And there are verses, individual verses in the Quran that one after the other just absolutely contradict each other. And it's like, you who says her thing, and it's usually blood and pound them, and they're being unfaithful, and they, you know, we have to pound the infidel and destroy the infidel and all this stuff because they're the unfaithful ones. It's you who really acting out this hatred of the Jews who wouldn't do what she said. And God on the sidelines going, no, I created them, they're good. You're the one with the problem.
So in a sense, your approach to Scripture is, you're looking at it and you're determining what you agree with and what the other side is saying.
Right, which is basically agreeing with what you said, which I think is a given of our belief, a given of each person, whether they're embarking on finding God or have an interest in spirituality, that you don't know. It is impossible, as an example, if you read the books of Moshe, it is impossible to run a society based on the law of Moshe. If you read those actual laws, they're really incoherent things. There's some good stuff in there, but a lot of it is incoherent, and very little is covered. It's the same reason that the Sharia law in Islam doesn't work. I mean, I read the Quran, you know, every Sunday. Now that I'm done with the commentaries, I read something from the Torah, a complete book, something from the Gospels or Paul's commentaries, and either several chapters or a lengthy chapter from the Quran. And you can't run a society that way. It's the things that it's demanding are incoherent. And in Islam, they've endured to this time, I'll cut off your hands and feet on either side. You think that's God? You think God's talking about cutting out people's tongues? That people should be stoned to death for adultery? That, you know, and it's like, we know better. And I think that's God's point. You know, it may take a long time because the authorities that you put over yourselves, which is also your choice, you know, each culture, each society puts people over them. The Jews chose to have a king when they had God's prophets. Bad trade. You know, we're going to have a king, and we'll deal with his son, and then his son's son, and his son's son's son. And it's like, that's not how it goes. That's not how God does it. You'll know the guy because, as you said, the perfect centerpiece of the prophet. If what he says comes to pass, he's a prophet. But if he says it today, and it's not going to come to pass for 200 years, that's a tough one. I mean, the rabbis have certainly, you know, expended a lot of effort to create this idea that the Torah has been changed in order to make the prophecies sound right. Like, they'll say, okay, we've got this book that we know is from 750 BC, and it's predicting things that happened in 350 BC. And it's like, well, they just changed it when they got to 350 BC. It's like, no, they didn't. It came to pass, but it didn't happen right away. That's my opinion. How's this striking you?
Interesting.
Okay. Let's get to your question.
I'm just trying to keep up.
Is this interesting? I mean,
yeah.
Okay.